who is still in isolation, myself and May, my wife, and two ragdoll brothers, Frankie and Benny. But today I want to speak to you about something that has been in the news. You might not have read it, but it's there in the news. It's about a colourful bow. A bow that hangs pointing to heaven, with no arrow there, just an empty bow pointing upwards. And this bow consists of seven colours, the central colour being the bright green emerald. It's caused by sunshine shining on raindrops. We call it a rainbow. It comes after a storm. But let me tell you today of the rainbow. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament for rainbow, for bow, is keshet, which means war bow, a bow of war. And it is referred to as a bow in the Old Testament continuously. And it is pointed towards heaven, not earth, and it was a sign of God's forgiveness and covenant mercy. It's displayed, as it were, in the museum of the sky. It's openly displayed for everyone to see, and it appears all over the world. We call it the rainbow. In Scotland, we often see it. And we see it because we have a lot of rain and followed by sunshine. But also when there is a double rainbow, the colours go the other way. They're reversed. But I'll not say anything about that, but that's just a fact. The seven colours of the rainbow have been a subject of many interpretations. And actually since 1978, when Gilbert Baker designed a flag for the homosexual movement, he used the colours of the rainbow. Now, initially, he used eight of them because he started his colours, instead of red, with a pink. But now, I believe, they've cut it down to six colours. But what we should remember, this is not the bow of Scripture. It's just the colours of the rainbow made into a flag. And note, it only has six colours, as opposed to God's seven colours. And the number seven in the Bible is a holy number. The number six is the number of man. So throughout Revelation, the sevens mean perfection. And the mark of the revived Roman Empire that grew out from the old empire and exists today in Rome, upon which sits Antichrist, is another Christ, is 666. So the LGBT, as they are called, use six colours. God has seven. The seven colours are God's. The six colours are the colours of men. So the Christian must not say that they have stolen the rainbow. They have not. That is a trick of Satan. They have just used the colours, not the bow. There's no rainbow or bow involved, just the colours. The bow in the sky is very, very different. Now remember, Satan's trick is always to confuse us. And that's what he did in the garden, when he went to Eve and he twisted God's word. And he confused her. He fooled her into thinking that God somehow was hiding some blessing or some knowledge from them. And that's why today we need a solid biblical doctrine to stop us being confused by Satan, who will only use what God has created. He doesn't create anything. He only pushes God's good things to corrupt them. He always goes too far, but God is in control. For instance, he'll take something like wine, which glands the heart in Scripture. And Satan takes that and he says, get drunk. And he'll take food, which is good to feast upon and enjoy. But Satan will lead it to greed and to gluttony. You see, what he does is he always takes something of God and he pushes it in the furthest direction he can in an evil direction. But before I tell you about the bow in Scripture, I want to mention another fact that might appear contradictory in the Bible. In Revelation 4 verse 3, we read this, "And he who sat there on the throne had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of emerald." Now, why is the rainbow around God's throne a different colour? Why is it predominantly emerald? The Greek is iris, our word translated iris, I-R-I-S. The answer is that all the 12 tribes were allocated gemstones and colours that the high priest wore on his breastplate as he entered to the mercy seat. So what he was doing when he went into the seat of mercy to atone for his own sins and the sins of Israel and spread the blood upon the mercy seat, covering the law, so that when God looked down, he didn't see the law that condemns us, but the blood that redeems us. And he wore on his breastplate the 12 tribes. In other words, he wore God's people on his heart and on his chest. The emerald stone was the stone of Judah, from which the Lion of Judah came, that is Christ. So having a rainbow which has its central colour emerald, which is primary emerald around the throne, shows that mercy and salvation surrounds his throne in the person of Jesus. Judah is prominent. That is the royal line of David. It also represents the line of the Levites as well, who remind Israel constantly of God's mercy as they serve in his temple. The throne of God was lit up with a rainbow primarily of a green glow, the glow of God's promise and mercy and redemption. Now, where does the bow come from? What does it mean? It appears a number of times in Scripture. The first time it appears is in Genesis 9, verses 11 to 15. And this is the mention of it as Noah came out of the ark after the deluge and after the whole world was destroyed by water and eight were saved. And Noah came out of the ark. And we read this. "I will establish my covenant," this is God speaking, "with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my bow in the clouds. And it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the bow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures of every kind on the earth." The bow was put in the sky to remind God and creation, to remind God. That's what it says. Now, it's of course, God is God and he would never forget anything. But when the bow is there, the rainbow is there in the sky, then people can look at it and say, well, God is looking at this and he's remembering as well. but that God would remain faithful to his covenant promise and not destroy the earth again with a flood. It spoke really of God's forgiveness and covenant mercy, that he would have mercy on us after the storm. Came the Son of Mercy and hope for us. And God, like a warrior returning from battle, hung up his war bow upside down on the wall, in the hall maybe, to say, no more am I going to use this. His bow he hung in the sky. Note, it was hung in the clouds. When the storm was just abating, the rainbow came out for all to see. Now Genesis 2, verses 5 to 6, suggests that it did not rain before the flood. Let me read this to you. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth. No plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth. And there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise up from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Now, the Bible is not clear about that. But if it's the case that the rainbow then would be a brand new thing. And that would make a lot of sense. For after the flood, it rained hard. And if it rained hard in later generations, the people then might be afraid that the flood would happen again. But then after the storm abated, came the sun and the bow was seen in the sky, saying, it's okay. I've remembered my promise. I'll not destroy the earth by water again. So when it rained hard, people looked with great hope for it to stop. And they looked for great hope to see a rainbow. So it was a measure of hope in some respect. But as I said, probably if there was no rain before the flood, then there would have been no rainbow. That just makes sense. But other people might disagree with that. And that's fine. So the war bow of God was hung up to show his mercy towards us and his promise. So when we see a rainbow, we should think hard of God's amazing mercy. When we see it around the throne of God and in the face of Christ, we see God's mercy for sinners in salvation. Note also the events, the order of events in Noah's time. There was great wickedness. Nobody did anything right. They were evil, continuous. Then came judgment. But in the midst of this, there was the ark of salvation that rose up above that judgment. Then after that was the covenant and promise of mercy seen in God's bow in the sky. I won't do that again, says God. Here is the promise. There is hope and salvation coming. There, of course, are echoes of Christ here. The wickedness of man, the ark of God's love in Jesus, and the pouring out of wrath that he rises above in his body on the cross, and then the promise of mercy of the gospel, the great rainbow promise. And other places the rainbow is mentioned as well, which is worth mentioning. Then Ezekiel chapter 1 verses 26 to 28. Ezekiel is in captivity in Babylon for the 70 years with the people of God. He is the prophet of the captivity. And we read this. And they would be very dismayed. Remember, they wrote the psalm as they were sitting by the banks of the river Kibar in a strange land, and they wept. And people came to them and said, why didn't you sing us one of those Jerusalem songs, those songs of Zion? But they'd hung their harps up on the trees. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Well, God came then to encourage Ezekiel. And he said this, Ezekiel, above this surface, he saw a vision, was something that looked like a throne. made of blue lapis, and on this throne high above was a figure whose appearance resembled a man. From what appeared to be from his waist upwards, he looked like gleaming amber, flickering like a fire. From his waist down, he looked like a burning flame, shining with splendour. Now listen to this. All around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow, shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This was what the glory of the Lord looked like. And when I saw it, I fell down on the ground, and then I heard someone's voice speaking to me. See, here Ezekiel is in captivity, the people are despondent, and God shows him a vision of Jesus. He assures him of mercy and hope and deliverance, that God is there. And God is seen with wheels and wings to show that he is a portable God, as it were, that he was not just in Jerusalem, but he was there with them in Babylon. It was Christ, mercy and hope. Notice again the mention of the cloudy day and the splendour of Christ. It's hope and mercy for the future. Revelation 4, verses 1 to 4. We read this. This is the old apostle John. As he writes, "Then I looked and I saw a door standing open in heaven. The same voice I'd heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here and I will show you what must happen after this.' And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one sitting upon the throne," of course Christ again, "was brilliant, as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald encircled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, 24 elders sat on them, and they were all clothed in white and had golden crowns on their heads." Here we see John, he sees a vision in going into heaven and seeing the throne of God and the glow of the central colour emerald like a rainbow, showing the mercy of God through the tribe of Judah, and that is through Christ. Remember this, that our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Scripture, is the centre of all things. He appears to Ezekiel to give hope in exile. Now he appears as one who is ruling and applying from his ruling throne the very mercy of God. Revelation 10, verses 1 to 2, which is a little harder text to understand, and it's not what I've fully studied, so I can't give you the interpretation of it, but listen to it. "I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud, with a rainbow over his head. His face shone like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire, and in his hand was a small scroll that had been opened. He stood with his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land." And this text is, as I say, a little more difficult to put in context. Matthew Henry, the old great commentator, says this angel John saw was Christ, or maybe his representative. And the rainbow was announcing that mercy, the emblem of covenant mercy to God's people just prior to judgment coming and amidst the judgment on God's foes. Remember, God said to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." As I say, I've not fully studied this chapter, but I'm drawing your attention to the fact that in the midst of God's judgment, the bow of mercy shines. Now, what can we say about all this? Well, there's much that we could be said. Maybe about the bow that God, time to time, actually takes down from the wall in Psalm 7, verse 12, where he says, "If the wicked turn not, he will whet his sword. he hath bent his bow and made it ready. That we can think about the wrath and justice of God for judgment is part of this picture in Genesis as the world was judged. We could look at the mercy of God in Christ that this bow represents. However, excuse me, in the light of our present situation, I want to think of the context of the rainbow. It was seen after the storm, and in Scripture it referred to as being in the clouds. So in a real sense, it is a measure of the hope of mercy and the promise of God. And that, I believe, is why this bow is important today. Now, I'm not talking about a flood or destroying, but just the principle of the promise of hope and mercy, that God will be merciful to us. Forget about the gay flag. And that's not a bow, a rainbow, or any conspiracy theories. The only conspirator is the devil, and he's not going to win. He may move the wicked and try to grasp authority. He may be stirring up Illuminati and globalism, and communists may be rejoicing and saying, now we're living under total control of the government since this virus. And they may rejoice that our royal family, placed there, by the way, by God to rule, are getting sick. And our Prime Minister, again, placed there by God, is sick. It's time for globalism, they may cry. But let's forget about that for the moment. We know that sort of thing goes on. But for Christians, we know that Christ rules. And in every situation, he will bring glory. He is on the throne. Ezekiel saw him. Isaiah in Isaiah 6, that hopefully I might be speaking to you again next week about. He saw Christ high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he is governing and ruling. Please don't get scared. God is in command. Now we see what has happened today. And some of you may see this as humanism, and in a sense, you're probably right. But there is a beauty in this also. Apparently, children all around the world are posting handmade rainbow artwork in the windows of their homes to spread hope and cheer during the dark days of the coronavirus pandemic. I know that the skeptics might say this is just a silly human hope. But let me share something with you from Psalm 8. My folks here know that we have been studying through the Psalms, and fortunately we've had to give it a stop until this thing is over. But we studied Psalm 8. And in Psalm 8, the psalmist says, how excellent is the Lord in all the earth. How magnificent are the heavens. They are filled with God's majesty, with his glory. Then from that great awesome thought, the psalmist tells us that this great majesty is displayed so that his enemies are silenced because they can't see the glory of God. He says, this majesty is declared. Now think about this for the moment. The great majesty and the glory of God seen in the heavens and the creation of all things. That is displayed and proclaimed by children. He says that well-known verse. But from the mouths of babes and children, you have established praise. In short, when the wicked cannot see the magnificence and the mercy of God, children see it. Children see it. Just like when Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and children sang his praise. and they put to shame the pompous scribes and Pharisees and teachers and religious humbugs of the day. They said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They could see it, but the pompous religious ones could not. Could it be, therefore, that God, in his mighty providence, has moved these children to choose a rainbow as a symbol and suggest there is hope after the storm? Now, I am not saying this is the case, but why the rainbow? Why hope and mercy after the storm? For that is exactly what happened, what it means. Visually, we see the bow of God's judgment and hope for his mercy. Maybe children do not know what they have done, but God knows. Out of the mouths of babes and children, he has ordained praise. Dear folks, I'm not given, as you probably know, those of you that know me, to make my own opinion known outside of that of Scripture. I try to align myself as much as possible with Scripture. Don't always succeed, because I'm human. But I bring to you that thought for your consideration. After the storm and the rain comes the rainbow. Someone once said, some theologian, I can't find who said it, but I did read this, that as Christ's blood fell on the cross, and then the brightness of the resurrection shone on it, it produced a rainbow of mercy. And we should glory in that rainbow, because it comes after the storm. And that is one of the points I want to make this morning to you. The rainbow after the storm. The well-known hymn writer George Matheson, he lived in Scotland, and as a young man had great potential, and he was destined for greatness. Everything was going fantastic and great for him, and he was engaged to be married. Then he was rushed to hospital and had a degenerative eye condition that was going to leave him blind, and did indeed. His fiancée left him, and he was devastated. His world was shattered. Had God left him? Had God stopped loving him? The storm clouds gathered, the waves crashed upon the shore, and he felt he was in the height of a storm. It was then his hand reached out and took his pen, dipped it into his own painful heart, and wrote one of the most beautiful hymns ever written. Let me read it to you, and you'll probably know it. O love, that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light, that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy, that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. Now listen to this verse. I traced the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise, that is the promise of the rainbow, is not in vain. That morn shall tearless be. O cross, he finishes with, that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life, glory dead, yet from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. You see how George applied the rainbow through the rain, and felt that this promise, although things at the moment seemed impossible, but he says the promise is not vain. For when in the morning comes, and the sun rises after the darkest dawn, it will be tearless. He was a man who was real, and in pain in a storm, yet he traced God's rainbow of hope through the storm, that God will have mercy on him. And I want to apply this to our situation right now. And your situation too. God's bow was a promise that he wouldn't destroy the earth by water. So whenever we see this bow, we know the storm is over and God has been merciful. For I believe that although God has allowed this virus, he is in control. His providence has guarded us, ensuring our government applies basic biblical concepts of hygiene that Moses were given in the wilderness. And this terrible storm, and God is using it to wake us up to what is needful, to change many of us, for we'll never be the same again. But little children have made rainbows in the rain to remind us of God's judgment and mercy, and we have hope. And just as Noah and his family rose up above the judgment and were safe, so we can look up and see the token of God's mercy to a sinful world. But if we do not take heed of the rainbow, but try and fix it ourselves, and do not see the emerald light of the Lion of Judah coming from the throne, then we will perish. If we try and do it in our own strength, and I am someone who would feel that the time is now right for our own Prime Minister to call us to prayer. Will we get through this? I believe we will. Will we be different? I hope so. Will we think more of eternity? I doubly hope so. Is God in command of all of this? I know so. But he is working all things to his glory in the end. We are in a storm. The earth beneath our feet is erupting like those in Noah's day. And through the storm we trace a bow in the sky that speaks not only of God not destroying this earth again by flood, but the bow hanging in the sky tells us that God is a merciful God. And that gives us hope. His throne of government is surrounded by the bow of mercy. And Satan will attempt to destroy us. In 1942, C.S. Lewis wrote the Screwtape Letters. And here is a snippet from it. Screwtape Letters were letters written to, I think it was Wormwood, from Screwtape, the devil, to one of his minions, one of his wee devils, trainee devils or whatever they were. And he said all kinds of things to attack Christians. Let me read this to you. This is Satan speaking. I will cause, this is 1942, I will cause anxiety, fear and panic. I will shut down businesses, schools, places of worship, and sports events. I will cause economic turmoil. Then Lewis goes on to say, this is Jesus speaking. I will bring together neighbours, restore the family unit. I will bring dinner back to the kitchen table. I will help people slow down their lives and appreciate what really matters. I will teach my children, this is God speaking, to rely on me and not on the world. I will teach my children to trust me and not their money and material resources. Now, C.S. Lewis wrote that in 1942. Prophetic? I think so. But you see, nothing changes. Let us trace the rainbow in the rain, as George Matheson said. Weather the storm and like Noah, praise God. When the dove in Noah's time came back, he sent a raven and he didn't come back. Then he sent out a dove and it came back with an olive leaf in its beak to tell us that the flood had receded. The first thing Noah did when the storm was over was to build an altar and worship God. So let us keep pleading with God for mercy. Every time you see a rainbow, worship him, love him for his mercy to you and for the hope of your future. And remember, please, please remember that whatever the enemy does, however much he stirs up the ungodly and our world is turned the wrong way up and the mountains are dissolved into the sea and the whole thing is turmoil, do not fear. For we know that the one who sits in heavens will laugh them to scorn. He says that in Psalm 2. For he has set his son upon the throne, and Jesus will reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretched from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Be assured of that. So, dear ones, stay in the ark of God's covenant. Stay with Christ. Ride the storm as the earth beneath you crumbles. For soon you will see the rainbow of God's grace, mercy, and hope. Keep praying. We'll get through this. God is on our side. May God bless you, keep you, give you grace and mercy every moment to protect you from this virus. Amen.